We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Empress Bank. Coming up, the latest on the 2024 NFL Draft from the team at KC Sports Network, your home for Kansas City Chiefs coverage.
Welcome into the KCSN Draft Show. We are on our interview series, another one coming your way, trying to give you guys an opportunity to hear from as many draft prospects as we possibly can. We've got a lot out there that we've had a chance to talk to. We're going to focus on defensive linemen today. We're going to start with a player that at one point was considered a first round pick. If you were looking at some of your way too early mock drafts in the past, you would have seen Leonard Taylor out of Miami's name on some of those lists. We had a chance to talk to him. Here's Leonard Taylor out of Miami.
We're sitting here with Leonard Taylor, defensive tackle from Miami. Thank you for spending some time with us here. So I just want to ask, you know, how'd you get started with the sport of football and kind of how'd you get into it? And was there anybody that helped get you started down this career path?
So really it was my mom helped me get into the football situation. So I actually liked basketball before football. So I tried out for one of my cousin's football team. He had a little league team, and my mom told me to suit up one day. I suited up one day. So we did like a little drill. It was a hitting drill. And I got hit for the first time before, so I was ready to take off my equipment. I wanted to quit the game, but so then I had to put everything on, had to talk with my mom. She just told me that she ain't raised a quitter. It's gonna be all right. Just hit them before they hit you, basically. And then ever since then, I just stuck with it and fell in love with the game.
Did you always play defensive tackle, or did you play a little bit of offense too?
I always played defensive tackle. As I got older. Through the process, I played a little FedEx once I got a little heavier for part one and all that. I played a little running back. I played a little D-tackle, a little quarterback, stuff like that.
When did you kind of realize that you wanted, you know, needed to make the transition or wanted to from basketball to football, and that's kind of where your life was going to be heading?
So basically, football college coach, he basically brought me to reality that you can make a lot more difference in football. So once I start getting all these offers and I start seeing everything coming in, it just was a big change for my life. I watched my game elevate from when I started, and it was just a big difference. Everything was different after that.
Is that when you first realized it's like, oh, this is something I could do for a career, I can make the NFL? Is that when it kind of clicked over for you?
Yes, sir. Once I got all those offers, I was just real determined about it. I used to put all my offers on the wall behind my bed. So I used to look up every day before I go, and I used to just be motivated by that. I can go anywhere in the country just knowing that I could just put on shoulder pads and go hit quarterback for a living. That's something I just manifested. I love to do it after that.
Was there a specific coach or anybody like that at Miami that really pulled you there and kind of made that feel like that was your best fit?
Coach Todd Stroud. It was a real impact in my college life. He basically took me in as a son, going through adversity before college and all that. So he played a big role in my college role. He basically just made me a good player. Basically, he elevated my game to a higher standard. So shout outs to him.
You played a little 3-tech. Waylon Wantech, played a little bit all over the defensive line. For somebody that hasn't watched you before, do you have a specific game that you'd say, you know, go watch that one? That's a good representation of me as a football player.
I'll say my Virginia game the year before this year. That was my breakout game. That's how everyone started really, like, noticing who I was. My favorite play was when I pushed the linebacker, the lineman, like, 30 yards back and did a flip over the quarterback. That was the best feeling I ever had. So that was one of the best things that happened.
So it's really hard to explain it to people that haven't played the position, but what's it like being a defensive tackle? Specifically this past year, you played a little bit more like a one-techer as a nose. What's it like taking on double teams or just two offensive linemen are hitting you at the same time? What's that feel like for you?
I mean, at the end of the day, it ain't for the week. I mean, you got to be a real trench monster. So basically repping it as much as you can in practice, just taking the reps. Once you get in the game, as long as you strike him before he strike you, you'll be all right. So basically just go out there and be a better dog than he is.
Would you rather take on a double and split it and make a tackle for loss or beat a guy one-on-one for a sack?
I'd rather do a double team and split the block because it's like it show more muscle, like more, it's more power into that because you got in there 600 pounds on you. So really being able to knock one guard off his level and then taking on a double team and splitting it and making a play, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Coaches love that.
Now, you make that play. Are you just getting back to the huddle, business as usual, next play, or are you going to let them know a little bit?
I'm going to let them know, always. I'm going to let them know.
You're talking all game.
I'm going to talk. I'm going to talk. Nice. Don't so feel me.
It's a passing down, third and long, whatever it may be. Do you have a go-to pass rush move that you like to go? I know it depends on the situation of the game, but do you have a favorite move?
My favorite move, I like to do the swim over. So I'm going to carry you up field and see how you play me. And then if you play me, like how I expect you to, I'm going to come with a quick swim over and then I'm going to just be in the backfield. Yeah.
Do you have anybody that you study, defensive tackles that you look at that are around that you're like, man, I like modeling my game after that, or I have a specific move that I want to mimic that they do like I do?
So right now I'll be watching a lot of Aaron Donald, like just his explosiveness, his quickness off the ball. I like his basically his swim move, his chop moves, all of that. Like he real technical when it comes to using his hands and all that. So I just try to elevate my game to that type of level.
So you make a game-winning play. You make a game-winning sack. It's a strip. He wins the game for your team. Do you want that to be at home in front of the home crowd? Everyone's going wild, or against your biggest rival on the road and the entire stadium just has to go completely silent?
Against my rival. Because they want to do all that yelling and screaming in the crowd and feel good and make them be quiet after a big play. Yeah.
You're going to go to the sideline and let them know? Let the fans know too?
Yeah, I'll probably just throw my hands up, let them know I'm here, make some noise from here.
Yeah.
Would you say kind of your motivation for football, do you think you get a little bit more motivation from people that supported you the whole time, trying to prove them right, or people that maybe doubted you a little bit and tried to prove them wrong?
I mean, everybody got doubters. I feel that me proving all my doubters wrong, like, that's a big thing for me, because everybody who's saying I can't do it and I can show you I can do it, that's a big thing for me, like, because at the end of the day, I did what you said I could.
So let's fast forward a little bit. It's draft night. You get the call. You hear your name head off. Who's there with you? Who you hugging first? You know, what's your support system look like that night?
My mom's going to be the first person I hug, because at the end of the day, I did it for her. I made it for my family. But sitting next to, I'm going to have my boy Moore. He's from West Africa, so he like stays to it. That's my best friend since high school. Grew up together, basically. Have probably my girl sitting next to me, my mom right there. It's just going to be a real joyful moment. I might go do a backflip in the pool after that. So, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Gotta get one of the viral draft reaction videos for sure. I get it.
All right.
No, thank you, Leonard, for spending some time with us. We appreciate it, and good luck out there this whole process.
Appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks to Leonard Taylor, the guy I'm rooting for. He kind of had to play out of position in 2023, playing more as a true nose. Didn't really get a chance to live in a gap as much as you wanted him to. Maybe underwhelmed a little bit from an athletic profile perspective. But the physical profile reminds you a little bit of Chris Jones, just from how he plays, what he looks like on the field. It's not the same level of athlete, definitely not as refined, but there are some similarities to how they look on the football field. That's Leonard Taylor out of Miami. Let's move on to one of my favorite interviews of the entirety of the process. You know, when we do these things, some players are a lot more polished than others. Some players have been through media training and others haven't. Mo Kamara, I don't know if he had been through through media training or just didn't care, but he was probably one of the most candid people we've ever talked to. Excuse the language if it hasn't been bleeped out by Tucker, because there's some colorful language that Mo Kamara uses, but very engaging kid, very thoughtful. It's Mo Kamara, pass rusher out of Colorado State.
We're here with Mohamed Kamara out of Colorado State. Mohamed, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're excited to talk to you. Would love to know a little bit about your journey to football, how you got started.
My journey with football, I mean, my brother played, you know, he was the stepping stone for a lot of people in our community to want to play football after him. You know, he did a great job of like setting the tone, and you know, after he played, everybody wanted to play football too. So it was really easy when it's your brother.
Yeah, for sure. So how'd you arrive at Colorado State? What was your choice there?
I mean, I was going to go to Temple University, but it was a lot of coaching exchange where I didn't want to be a part of that. But got to Colorado State, and I still, you know, I had three coaches.
Mm. Was there a particular coach or anybody at the program that really drew you into them?
I mean, all my coaches, like, help me out, you know, and it's not always going to be like some coaches are going to be like, you got to find the nuggets. Some coaches are going to have a sea of gold. Yeah. You know what I mean? So you can always find something in everybody that you talk to. There are some coaches you can quote unquote say better than others, but it really don't matter unless you get your job done.
Can you tell me about when you kind of had an idea that you were different on a football field and you were going to have an opportunity to play in the NFL?
I always felt that way, but it was hard to see. The reason why I said it was hard to see is like I said, I had three different coaches. So every other year, I had to learn a new scheme. You know what I mean? I envisioned, you know, going from college to, you know, I mean, from high school to college, I envisioned like being there for 4 years, having a same coach, have been like a 3 to 2 or 1 year letterman, you know what I mean? And be an impact guy, you know, coming out at 4 or coming out at 3. You know, that was my image in my head. But like having that turnover, having that didn't have that peace of mind, it was hard. It got cloudy a lot of the times, you know what I mean? I mean, I was always productive. I did things, you know, and especially with like being a Colorado State, it's not an SEC team, you know what I mean? So you have to do a little bit more. And you know, my career there, individually was really, really good and really successful, but you know, as a team, we didn't win a lot, and, that stuck with me more.
How's that kind of process going? You're getting a coaching change at your school. What did you kind of do in those times to make sure you were prepared to be the best you could be with this new coaching staff coming in?
Getting the plays early, learning the playbook early, you know, always fixing my technique, you know, and it's not always going to be like, it's not always going to be like, let's say, switching my feet up. It might be like not false stepping, you know what I mean? Those type of techniques, you know, having, you know, always having my hands up, you know, stuff like that, like learning how to stay low, learning how to bend at the hips, like techniques like that, like always going back to the lab. You know, for me personally, the thing that kept me sane was like, and continue to get me better is like, every offseason, I mean, every springtime, I went back in the lab, and the lab was like starting over. Like, it's basically learning how to walk again. How am I going to run fast? Like, learning how to, I did, you know, jump ropes. I'm always hitting the ladder. You know, I'm always working on my feet. Oh, like ground up and stuff like that. I'm going to keep my hands fast, always striking the pad, like things of that nature that don't have nothing to do with the coach, you know, schemes and stuff like that. So I always worked on that to be technically good.
Was there a particular thing this past year that you felt like you improved on the most from the year prior that you spent the time working on trying to get better at in the lab?
Definitely. Just finishing, you know what I mean? 2 years ago, I had a lot of pressures. I don't remember the amount I had, but I was like top 10 or top 5 or something, like 6 or something like that. I mean, even this year, I was number 2 in pressures of all college football, you know what I mean? And I had 8.5 last year, and I had 13.5 this year. I equate that to, you know, turning my toe, you know, bending the corner, doing the things I do best. But I couldn't do that if I didn't every day to spring ball in Colorado, it's snow. Play in the snow. So my teammates can attest, like, we get a shovel, we dig in our own well, like, we digging for the lines on the field to understand, like, you know, spacing and stuff like that. That's what we had to do. That's what I had to do. Like, we're outside digging our own snow, you know what I mean? And learning how to turn my foot, learning how to, you know, turn my toe. And, like, even being out here, I got to redo it because I've been working on 40s the whole time and stuff like that. But trying to shake off the rust since I've been out here. But, you know, things that don't have nothing to do with coaching, but that's just technique. Mm-hmm. Just turning my foot, just turning the corner, trusting in my speed, you know, making sure I don't fall step. Those are the things I worked on in the springtime. Like I said, I got to learn how to, you know, crawl before I can run again. So that's the thing I worked on. And you can see my numbers doubled or something.
So I want to hear about your favorite pass rush move. What's your favorite one?
It's hard to say, but I want to say the rip drag, you know, just because I spent a lot of time on it, you know, just, and I just like that move in particular encompassed me, you know, staying low, keeping my foot, turning a corner. Like, I'm trying to, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, you're doing it in the moment. But I'm trying to drag, like, I'm trying to grab that elbow, rip through, get it up, and stay low to the ground. So, unless you see me do it, I don't really know how to explain it.
Nah, you're good. You're good.
And so, okay, this is, you're going through with this. You get the keys that you, what are the keys you're looking for from an offensive tackle to where, you know, mentally you are going to get them on this rip drag? Like, is there something specific that you can see, or is it your own get off? Like, what about that move? Do you know that you were going to beat that tackle and have a chance to get the quarterback?
Yeah. And there's different ways I can do it too. I'm going to get off, you know, making sure when that ball is snapped, you know, key the ball, you know, most of the times, if you see my film, most of the time I'm looking straight at the ball. I'm not even looking at the man. And most of the time I'm just trying to get a great get off. I'm running my line, my train track, you know, that's what I'm key. If he gets in front of me, I'm going through him. You know, if he gets too much outside of me, I'm going inside. But if he wants to stay, like if I beat him on the edge, I'm going to get on his hip, turn the corner. Like, I'm going to do that every single time. And I only need that much space. You know, some tackles are better than other, but I only need that much space, you know, and look, these tackles here are actually really, really lucky. A reason why I say that is because I'm really, really rusty right now. They're really, really lucky. I'm so serious. Just because, like, yeah, they're good, but, like, all I need is this much space, you know what I mean? And with that, with drag, it's just, like, I'm just trying to turn a corner. A lot of those tackles are going to be taller than me. Ain't no tackle 6 foot. So they all have to come to my height. They all have to put their hands out and stuff like that. And like I said, there's different ways to do what I can, you know, show and go. I can touch and go, and I can, you know, different variations of what I'm trying to do, but I'm always going to rip. I might touch. I might two-hand touch. I might one-hand touch. But I'm always going to drag my, you know, I'm always going to drag it, you know, putting, you know, stepping over myself, you know, putting one toe in front of the other and, like, think that type of concept. That's just how I look at it.
So this is a big opportunity for you to emphasize and focus on football, you know, the pre-draft process. What are the things you're trying to improve the most on between now and when you enter an NFL training camp?
As a player?
Yeah.
I mean, not much. I've technically, you know, work on my technical stuff. Like I said, I'm always going to work on my technical stuff. Until I know which team I go to and which playbook I'm going to and which playbook I'm going to see, and you know, different teams look at me different ways. Some teams are 4-3, some teams are, you know, 3-4. And then, you know, my mindset has to change within the fly. So I can't, like, I can say something, but I can't really know until I get the plan. Like, okay, this is what they're asking me to do. Let me find a way to, you know, execute it.
Do you have a favorite play from this last season, or your just career at Colorado State that just sticks, you know, every detail sticks in your mind, whether it was specifically you, your whole team, but a favorite play from your time in college?
I got a lot of plays that are good. Not going to lie. I mean, I remember freshman year. It was a good freshman year. I remember playing Air Force, scoop and score. My big brother, Manny Jones, got the little tap out. You know, scoop and score. I want to say sophomore year was Kobe year or something like that. We played like four games. got a couple sacks that year. You know, we play Wyoming, the team up north. Can I curse?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fuck Wyoming. you know, the team up north. And, you know, we won that game, but they beat us every other game. So respect to those guys. But, you know, won that year. 2 years ago, I want to say 2 years ago, you know, I had 8.5 sacks. This year, I think what it was, I think this year was like the transition. Like, we played CU, everybody seen that CU game, I balled out, right? Got the targeting call, I missed the first half of Middle Tennessee. That Middle Tennessee game, I came in one half, had two sacks, one sack to win the game. You know what I'm talking about? the final play was to win the game, but I also got a scoop and score to put, it was damn near losing. Scoop and score, got the touchdown, put us back on top, got a sack, got another sack. That was the very last second. It was supposed to be a Hail Mary play. Got the tip ball. We run off score. San Diego, I, you know, got the safety, put the points on the board. After that, we won that game, and that was supposed to be a, you know, tough game for us. What else? I had, you know, three sacks in one half against Utah State, two sacks in one quarter against them. What else? Wazoo, a sack with a strip, sack with another sack with a strip. I've had a lot of good games. Air Force, I love playing Air Force. I love and hate playing Air Force. I've never been Air Force, but, you know, thing about Air Force is like you can't just play regular defense. You have to play in a certain different way, you know, triple option.
For sure.
And, you know, being able to stand up, making plays, and, like, they're going to cut you. They're going to do all the things. It's all about grit, you know.
Yeah.
Shout out to Henry. He broke, like, three Henry. I said, hey. Shout out to Henry Blackburn. He broke, like, three helmets that game. what else? Like, you know.
Hey, you've had plenty, man. I got a question for you, though, because you talked about a game winner. You talked about a game-winning sack. Would you rather that game-winning sack be at home in front of all your fans, everyone's going nuts, everybody's celebrating, or would you rather be on the road?
I'll be on the road because it takes the air out of the whole stadium.
Yeah.
That's more important.
For sure.
So, like, if we won that CU game, that took the air out of everybody, their sails. You know, I mean, they still end up losing the year.
Yeah.
Can I curse?
Yeah.
F*** CU. Hey. And just on, you know, we're on the same path. F*** Air Force, too. You know what I mean? It's just those three. You know what I mean? Those are our rivals. We play for championships. There's a reason why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, they end up getting kicked on the rest of the year. But respect to those guys, you know what I mean? Of course, you know, it's a game at the end of the day, but, you know, there's a certain type of emotion for it. Like,
sure.
You know, it's not like bad blood, like, we're going to hurt each other outside of, like.
Yeah.
But you have to bring something to the table. Like, you have to bring something. Like, those weeks, you have to bring a certain type of chaos in your mind and your heart, you know, for those games. So.
Yeah.
Taking a win out of their sails at home. That's at away.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Team. So I think that's more important.
You talked a little bit about emotion, and you're about to get a phone call in late April.
Hopefully.
Oh, you can get a call. I believe in you.
Thank you.
What are those emotions going to be like? And, you know, just tell me those emotions you're going to feel when you get that phone call.
I don't know. I don't know. I was pretty emotional when I graduated, to be honest. You know, I didn't cry or nothing, but, you know, I was pretty emotional for, like, graduation. Like, just because it didn't come super, super easy for me. But when I got a hang of it, you know, I graduated 3.0 and, you know, in my master's class. But I don't think it's going to be that emotional, and I could be wrong. You know, don't quote me. I don't think it's going to be that emotional just because it's like, with the path I'm doing, with the hard work I put in every day, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hopefully it happens. And even if I don't get my name called, I'm going to be on a team and I'm going to make that team.
Yeah.
You know, that's just my mentality.
Yeah.
So hopefully it works out that way. But if it doesn't, I think I'll be good.
Well, Muhammad, best of luck to you, man. Appreciate you spending some time with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you supporting KC Sports Network by listening to our podcast. You have helped us become the highest ranked Chiefs podcast network in 2022 and 2023. And don't forget about our daily Substack newsletter, the best written analysis you can find on the Chiefs straight to your inbox every day. KCSN.substack.com.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope. Because
I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, Mo Kamara, I think, has one of the best first steps in the entirety of this class. And you kind of heard from him. He's a great personality. And talking to some other people there, they all got the same guy. Like, we were talking to some other people, some teams and stuff, and they all said, yeah, we got that guy. That's the guy we got, that's the same kind of guy we got. So he's just him. That's who he is. And it was cool getting to learn a little bit about Mo Kamara. Very interesting pass rusher on the shorter side, but from an athleticism perspective, boy, he's really tempting. I don't know if he's a fit for the Chiefs necessarily, but if they're wanting someone with some burst and up the arc, there's your man. Let's finish this thing out with Miles Murphy from North Carolina.
We're sitting here with Miles Murphy, defensive tackle from North Carolina. So we say, first of all, thank you for sitting down with us. We do appreciate your time and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to start and ask you, how'd you get started in football? What kind of drove you to playing playing football? What got you into it? How did you find that passion?
I really started off, my dad had started me off playing football. My mom didn't want me playing no contact sports. I was probably like 5 or 6 at the time. But I really started growing into it when I got like, I was a little bit angry as a kid almost. So I got to take out my anger a lot. So a contact sport was a perfect place for me to do it at. Yeah.
Did you have like a family member or a coach or a friend or something like that that was saying, hey man, you should go play football? Channel that in.
Yeah, because I was always like a big kid. And it was like either you play basketball or you play football. I was like, basketball is not, it's not too physical for me. I need to hit somebody or something. It wasn't physical enough for me. So I was like, I gravitate more to football.
So on the field, you know, you can take out a little bit of anger and stuff like that in a very loud and controlled way. How do you kind of flip that switch going from off the field, a teammate, a person, a friend, a family member, to being a football player on the field? Like, how does that switch go for you?
Just genuinely just being a good person. Just being whoever you are. If you're a quiet person, you're a quiet person. If you're like a over energetic person, you can be that person. But I was more of like an introvert growing up, but not really. So if I really knew you, then I was really like goofy. I'll play around with you. I really didn't know you like that. I'll probably keep my distance. It'll be still all love, but I didn't know you, so I wouldn't come up to you like that. So it was basically like just being genuine about your character.
So you're coming up in football, realizing you like doing this, you like playing physical, you like hitting. At what point did you realize, hey, maybe I can do this professionally? Maybe I can turn this into a career for myself?
When I knew I had a real shot, I'd probably say my freshman year in high school, where my head coach, Eric Rennie, had kicked me off the team because we was at a very strict high school. I had to wear collared shirts. It was just everything was so strict at the time. It was like a one chance rule. You do anything, you're done. And having them strict rules, it really turned me into the person I am today. And he was just he kicked me off the team, and he was just like, for you to get back on the team, you know, like, what you got to do. And then he set rules that we had to follow. So if I wanted to play football, you got to do this. So I wanted to play football, so I did. I made the right decisions.
So if somebody hasn't seen you play football at all, what is one game that you would direct them to go watch to kind of see the full experience of who you are as a football player?
Oh, I'll probably say 2021 Georgia Tech game, my sophomore year.
Yeah, what jumps out about that game?
Oh, I was all over the place. And a game from this year, I'll probably say either Duke or Syracuse.
Rushing the pass or defending the run, both things are super important. Which one is your favorite? Which do you prefer more, going after the passer, or do you prefer beating blocks, taking on multiple guys, and, you know, tackling a ball carrier from that alignment?
For this past year, I knew I was going to get double teamed a lot, so I really embraced that role of getting double teams. So basically, I was like a run stopper. I was getting TFLs a lot. So I grew up into like a good run stopper, but I could really pass rush too though.
So what's the mindset that has to go through a player's mind when you know you're going to get double teamed, you know you're going to be taking on a lot of blocks, you might not get to play in the most sexy position on the defensive line for this year. What's going through your mind? How do you embrace that role?
You just, like, my D-line coach said, hey, take it as a compliment. Like, if they're going to double team, bro, just take it as a compliment, because I was really getting like frustrated because I was like, damn, bro, you got my teammates making plays left and right. I'm sitting here getting do all day. So it was like, well, you just got to embrace it, you know, take them doubles. And, hey, board man gets paid. Who cares? Hey, board man get paid, man. You got to do your job. Do your job, you're going to get paid, man.
So when you're making those plays, when you're out there, you're seeing those doubles, describe the feeling, people who maybe haven't played football before, don't understand what that's like, when you hold up against a double, split a double, you make a play. Describe that feeling.
Man, that's 600 pounds, maybe 7, because they'd be some big dudes. That's just 700 pounds pressing against you. Once you split that double team, oh, it feels amazing. Like, it feel like I just lifted up the planet. There's 700 pounds on you, and you just threw one off of you, and that's, you know, you made a play. So that's an amazing feeling.
So you do that. Is it business as usual? Go back to the huddle, get ready for the next play, or do you let them know a little bit?
A little bit. Depending on how amped up I am, it might get a little talkative, but I really don't do a lot of talking for real.
So let's say it's third and long. You're getting to rush the passer a little bit. What do you have, a favorite or a go-to pass rush move?
I really like my swim club, or I like my stutter bull. Like, I feel like if I do a stutter bull on any O-line, they can't defend it.
So let's go with the stutter bull. You're lined up. You know, you think this might be the move you're going to win with on this based on the way the game's been playing like that. What are you looking for at the snap? What are you looking for in the blocker across from you to kind of set it up and go through with the move?
I'm really looking at the way his posture is, how his hands, is his hands barely on the ground? Is it going to be pass, or is it going to be run? If his hands is pressing hard on the ground, I know it's going to be a run. If he's light on his fingers, I know it's going to be pass. So I'm looking at anything that will give me a detail where it's going to be run or pass. That way I have a bigger advantage on knowing, should I just get up because I know it's going to be pass, just shoot up out of my stance, or should I get up but still be conservative, or it's going to be a run play.
Okay, so let's go back to your favorite play, not just necessarily from this year, any year that you had, there's one that just really jumps out at you. I know you said your favorite game, but your favorite individual play that you just felt like, man, I nailed that one.
I'll probably say I had a one-handed sack, the Georgia Tech game I was talking about, one-handed sack. Yeah.
Nice.
Do you want to walk us through that play? Do you remember, like, you know, how you got to that, like how you beat the blocker and everything like that?
Yeah, it was a game with me and the Mike linebacker where he showed up, and the O-line probably thought he was blitzing, and we had messed up their whole scheme, so they probably tried to go to him, and he bails out, and they let me go, and I had to chase the quarterback. He was fast, but I feel like if you watch that, I ran so fast. And I grabbed him with one hand. I just threw him down. I ran to the sideline. And my teammates just cheered me on. It was a great feeling.
So, listening to a traditional player, you beat your blocker. You got a clear path to the quarterback. What's going through your mind now that you're trying to head towards the quarterback? What is going through your brain?
Don't miss. I got to get him down because, you know, there's some athletic dudes out there that can make you miss. I got to make sure I get him down to the ground so it won't be no excuses.
All right. Looking forward here.
Mm-hmm.
It's draft night. You hear your name called. Who are you with? What's going through your mind right then and there? You know, what are you with your support system? Who are you celebrating first and hugging first?
Most of all, I'm going to have my dog with me, my little girl. She had Golden Doodle. My mom, maybe a little bit of my family. And I'll probably say my girlfriend maybe. And I really don't know. It might be a lot of people. It might be a little bit of people depending on the scenario.
Got a couple fun questions here for you at the end here. So let's say you get a game-winning sack. The game's over. You get the sack. Would you rather that be at home in front of the home crowd? The fans are going crazy. Or on the road versus your biggest rival, let's say Duke, and the crowd has to go. I guess that's not fair because that's kind of 50-50. But still, the rival fans go completely silent, and you just have to hear absolutely nothing after that sack.
I like that feeling right there. Yeah, when we put in on them, they say, no, I make a big play to stop the momentum, give a little to the crowd. Oh, my God. That feeling right there is crazy. It gets the adrenaline going, man. It's amazing.
Okay, now I want to ask you about your personal drive here. Do you think you get more motivation from people who have doubted you throughout your life, throughout your football career, or do you think you draw more motivation from people that have supported you and tried to prove them right?
I'll probably say people that doubted me a lot. I'll probably say that's probably the biggest motivation I can give right there. If you doubt me, say I can't do it, I'm going to show you I can do it.
Well, thank you, Miles. We appreciate you sitting down with us, and we'll see you all week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Thanks to Miles Murphy, the defensive tackle out of North Carolina, another guy that has, you know, at times been very highly sought after, highly considered in the draft community. Some of those way too early mocks had him up pretty high as well, but he's another intriguing defensive tackle prospect. I enjoyed hearing from him. Good interview. And I think he did a pretty good job helping himself at the East-West Shrine Bowl. Now, obviously, there's going to be a little bit of concerns about, he's got the great physical profile. He's got great length. Didn't help himself testing. It wasn't the best testing performance. The burst with the 40-yard dash, shuttle wasn't great, but tastes pretty good. I think he's going to wind up seeing his name called somewhere on day three. That's Miles Murphy out of North Carolina, and that is going to do it for the KCSN Draft Show. Thank you all so much for listening. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll catch you later.